I told John to take 7.5 minutes.
It's kind of like when I used to say to him, take $10 off my billboard.
What have we there? Pat, what is that? That's San Sebastian. That's where it's an ugly place.
Yes.
On a bay, mountain, oh, suffer for the Lord. Okay. Well, I was going to have a pointer. See that knoll to the left? And above it, you see a little something? Next slide. Oh, it's a statue. It's somebody. Is it Don Juan of Bastille? Next slide. Oh my gosh. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Overlooking San Sebastian is a giant, giant statue of Jesus.
What does that mean to them?
I can't think of a more clear-cut way to talk about the counterfeit idol of religion than this picture right here. 3 million Basque people. 3 million. Estimated less than 100 believers. Whew. Yes! A statue of Jesus looks over their city. I submit, sadly, that statue doesn't mean a whole lot except, hey, there's our statue. I submit, sadly, that they're not the only ones guilty of this. Wow. Turn to Jonah. We're gonna race today because of time. It would have been cruel for John to say, throw like Becky. So he said, throw like girl. Because growing up at our house, John was forever pumping a ball at Becky and saying, throw it back at me. And she would get frustrated, and so she would sort of throw it back at him. But you actually better throw pretty well, don't you? But throw it at John. John. Okay, you know the story of Jonah? I'm assuming that 95% of you have heard about Jonah and wrongly the whale. What's the whale? The great fish. A whale is not a fish. But you know the essence of the story. I submit to you that this story is so appropriate for a big problem in the world, in America, in Bloomington Normal, and I hope not in the church right here. But I ask God to show us that this is a problem. So quickly, the story. There is a group of lost people. And I say lost, it's not like they don't know where they are, it's they don't know who they are. And they don't know who they are as created by the one and only God, who desires that they live redemptively. They're the people of Nineveh, and they live horribly. We learn in this story that they don't know their right hand from their left hand. Now, what does God mean by that? He means they don't know right from wrong, they don't know in from out, they just kind of exist, and when human beings exist, with no knowledge of the true God, it becomes destructive. It's a truth of the fall that without the redemption of God, there's going to be destruction. God cares for these people, so he calls upon one of his people. Let's look at verse 9 in chapter 1. When Jonah says, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Why is he saying this?
He's saying this because when God said, go to Nineveh, he said,
no way am I going there. I'm going the opposite direction to get as far away from this calling of loving God as I can. I'm going to run away from God.
And so he goes the opposite direction, gets on a boat, storm comes up. Okay, friends, there's a group of people on that boat who are not Hebrews. A group of people on that boat who don't believe in the Lord we sang to. When we sang Jehovah, wasn't that awesome to sing that? These people don't know Jehovah. They believe in lots of gods, the gods of the seas and the gods of the wind and pagan gods.
And so when the sea and the winds flare up, they're saying, something's wrong here. Somebody's not treating their God right. Who is it? They cast lots, meaning it's like throwing dice or pulling straws, and it comes to Jonah. We know what the Bible teaches. God is in charge of the lots. It is Jonah. Jonah is the cause of the problem. And so it's interesting, isn't it, that we have a group of people with a counterfeit religion, and they know something's wrong. And what is wrong is someone supposedly representing, in his own words, the maker of heaven and earth. We find out that his religion is really counterfeit, his personal, his soul. He is worshiping an idol. And his idol is, I'm Hebrew, or I'm American, or, hey, I'm a Christian. Hey, I know Jesus well. He's worshiping in that. He's not worshiping God. Pass me that so much. You see in the program, this little thing I wrote about Jesus and the Pharisees.
What we have here with Jonah is a sort of Pharisee.
Jonah is like a chicken liver Pharisee. Okay? The Pharisees were in your face people in Jesus' day, and they told everybody how to live based upon their love for God's Word. Let me ask you something, friends.
Those that know me, those who aren't visiting for the first time.
Do you think I love God's Word?
I do.
Do you think I love His church?
I do.
Do you think I love being a Christian?
I do.
None of those things save me, redeem me, or are to be the object of my ultimate worship. I must love God.
Jonah, securing that he's a Hebrew,
has no true love for the God after whom he is named. He has no love for God. He just loves being a part of the local congregation. And when he's asked to do something that is going to be missionary in its purpose, he flees. He drops the ball. Interesting. Interesting what happens. God gets a hold of him, puts him in a fish. Look what he says when he did the fish. Chapter 2, verse 7. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. This is true. When I was stuck in the belly of a fish, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast
friends. Now, again, one of the points I want to make today has to do with this book. And so I'm going to get back to Jonah, but I'm going to just do a quick, how much, 5 minutes? I'm going to do a quick talk about this.
Athena and I went to a very important seminar for pastors this week. It was about domestic violence. In that seminar, the opening prayer shocked me. The woman who prayed said, "Lord, please forgive us and free us from the abuse of Scripture." Do you understand that Christians, instead of letting this book use them, choose to use this book to justify godless actions and attitudes? We don't have to go back to the days when slavery reigned in the world and so many Christians justified it by saying, "But it says slaves obey your masters." No, we need to go to William Wilberforce and men like him who said, "But what does the Bible teach? It teaches that all men are created equal. It teaches that there's neither slave nor free. It teaches that we are to love them and show mercy on our brother and on our neighbor. And generosity. We are to be just shadow in our spirit of influence." But there are some people, even today, who will say, "Let me show you some verses that I know about this issue or that issue." And brother, I'm sticking to those verses. And they better be in the King James, because if the King James was good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me. I've heard that said. I've heard it said. Can I tell you that's not the love of God? Can I tell you that that's Jonah? There's a term for that. It's called bibliolatry. And it's interesting to me because I remember sitting in some churches as a young Christian and thinking, I'm not at ease about what's going on here because I feel like people are worshiping the Bible. And they're not worshiping God. That's the idolatry of it. Do I love this book? You betcha. Must we have this book if we want to live lives of peace and purpose and eternal value? We have to feed on this book. This book is a treasure to us. But it is interesting. It is interesting that places where, by God's mysterious design, this book has not been able to be read, there are people who are coming to Jesus. We need to give Bibles to those people. But those people aren't worshiping the Bible. They're worshiping God. And that's what this book teaches us. Not to worship this, to worship the author of this. That's when this is alive. When it's attached to a living master of the universe. Okay, back to Jonah for one last thing. And then, look at chapter 4. Here's something amazing. So Jonah goes to Nineveh, and he doesn't even want to. He announces the judgment of God and the mercy of God, and a whole city repents. Oh my, that's the last thing he wanted to have happen. He didn't like these people. These people are, they're not like him. And now, now they're right with God. Oh my gosh. Look what he says. Chapter 4, the first line. "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry." And he was just beside himself. Look at verse 5. 3. "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Do you do well to be angry?" Now Jonah had admitted something earlier. He said, "I know you're a God of mercy.
What's with Jonah?
Pride. Pride that his belief system, that whatever his comfort zone is, has now been shattered, and he can't find his person, is lost. And friends, that's right where he needed to be. Bill mentioned in his prayer those who have died and gone before us. We sang.
Oh my gosh, we sang it. I just wanted to stop and say, do you hear those words? Jesus, at the trumpet call, there's going to be a renewal of everything. This whole fallen mess reaches to all. And Jesus declares himself the victor over all sin and death, and it's going to happen. Think about this. If you're a partaker of that glory, and if you're in him, you are, there is going to be a generation of Ninevites. Do you think about that? There is going to, okay, you can go to Nineveh now, what used to be Nineveh is dust. From that dust is going to rise a whole city of redeemed people to live forever because of Jesus. That's how spectacular this is. Not just the Christians of the 21st century. No. The Ninevites who repented and worshiped the true God. The blood of Jesus covers them. They're going to come alive. That is going to happen. Should we love the God who makes that happen? And I've said it before.
My favorite verse, I hope you learned.
And the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It's going to happen to the vast people. It's going to happen. It is our amazing calling to embrace those people. Start now by praying. We have a flag. That flag that said was banned, but it's not banned here. Embrace, start praying right now. Lord, send us a group of young people who've come over here with no idea that they're going to encounter life. The living God. Start praying now. And his glory, the knowledge of his glory, will go back.